You're listening to Sister Stargazers, celestial and terrestrial observations and advice from two real-life sisters.
Okay, fellow stargazers, your sisters are in the house. Hello, Jude.
Hey there, Sarah.
I know, episode 33. We're going to launch into what multiple times have said, a wacky week. This is covering Sunday, April 24th through Saturday, April 30th. I don't even know where to start. Maybe we just start at the beginning of the week. Oh, it's wacky.
Oh, it is a wacky week because it's this buildup to this incredible new moon solar eclipse on the 30th. Mm-hmm. The moon and the sun are in Taurus. The North Node is there. Uranus is there. Pallas Athene is there. But all the way up to the week, right? And the week is just an arbitrary set of days.
Yes.
You know, we just conveniently call it a week between Sunday the 24th and Saturday the 30th. 7 days, right? But it's really just an arbitrary thing. Yeah. This has been building all month.
Yeah.
Full moon in the 16th. I mean, that was quite a weekend. I hope everyone's okay out there because it was like, get out your fan and cool down. You know,
yeah,
that was
for
a
sure.
lot of energy coming for through. Sure. And this is a time, this whole month, I mean, again, an arbitrary 30 days, right?
Right.
It's just what we call it, a month. But this process has been building basically since the first of the year. And what's that? You know, another arbitrary set of days. But we can look at the astrological new year, which started, you know, in the spring equinox.
Right.
The vernal equinox, right? We can look at that chart. And you can refer back to that program where we talk about that chart and look at what's unfolding for you personally. So this is where there's a pivot coming because as we move into the first week in May, there's Beltane between the 1st and the 5th. Usually, ideally, it's not a date set in stone. It's when the sun reaches 15 degrees Taurus. That's Beltane. That's the fire festival.
Edinburgh
Fire Festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a wild time.
These 15 degrees are these cross quarter days between equinox or solstice.
Yeah. It's a seasonal marker and it says we're halfway there. You know, we're halfway from the beginning of spring till the beginning of summer. Yeah. So it's a place to take some stock. It's a day when you want to look for signs and synchronicities, because it's a time and in space where you can ask for that kind of support from the universe.
And this week leading up to that Beltane time is a great time to get clear on what it is you want to ask for, because we're now about to hit a new moon, which is a new cycle, to maybe set that intention to know what you want to ask for.
Yeah. And go for the big time, you know, like go for your heart's desire.
Yeah.
Because.
Here we go. Let's do it.
Because Jupiter, Venus, Neptune, and the moon are all going to be conjunct on Wednesday, April 27th.
Okay. So it's a conjunction of Venus, Jupiter, Neptune, and the moon.
Yeah.
Give us just a rough like snapshot of what each of those planets together could potentially mean.
Okay. Well, Jupiter is the great benefit. It's the great blessing. It's the energy that expands, that bestows, it's generous, it magnifies, it bolsters, it supports. So in Pisces, it is so at home. It's one of the rulers of Pisces. And Neptune is the other ruler of Pisces. And this conjunction has been watched for. And it was perfected in the previous weeks.
That's right.
So Neptune and Jupiter have already made their exact conjunction, but they're still riding together. So they're going at the same pace and they're in the same degree in the sky.
Yeah.
Neptune's at 24 of Pisces. Jupiter's at 27 of Pisces at the time of this new moon on the 30th. And right in the middle is Venus.
Yeah.
So this is what's so cool about this last week of April and how everything has been kind of building up to this time. And also like on a personal level, like sorting out like where you want to be and what you want to do.
Right.
And making a decision about that. So Mercury squares Saturn on Sunday the 24th. That's a big deal. Mercury then sextiles Neptune on the same day. The moon conjuncts Saturn as well. So this is all happening just on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Mercury is our communicator.
Yeah.
It's our thinking process. Mercury is in Taurus and it's making a square to Saturn. Now, what else was in Taurus recently making a square to Saturn? All last year it was Uranus making a square to Saturn. So Mercury's coming by, making another square to Saturn. Saturn's like our rigidly held points of view.
Yeah.
It's also what helps us to get things done. It's our discipline. It's our focus. Yeah. It's our
structure.
Yeah. It's a thing that we put our blinders on and we just don't look at anything else but what we're doing.
Yeah.
And Mercury is about looking at all the possibilities. And in Taurus, it's specifically looking at things concerning value and worth and money and exchange and ideas about the land, realty, farming, animals, anything to do with the earth and the products of the earth, mining, those kinds of things. And Mercury in Taurus is squaring Saturn. So that square is a tension. It's an aspect of tension. It's not a flow, okay? It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's narrow. It's focused. It's something, in a way, a task that has to be done, not out of joy. It's just something you've got to do.
Yeah.
It's also can be restrictions and transport or communications, because Saturn's in the sign of Aquarius. It has to do with technology, restrictive use of technology, delays in technology. You know, we've had such an uptick in solar flares.
Yeah.
There could be something around that. Mercury in Taurus is very practical. It's not at all airy-fairy. It's just, it wants to get things done. But if you've got a square to Saturn in Aquarius, your Mercury is not going to get things done. Your Saturn is going to just kind of splinter off.
You'd mentioned it was also can feel like trying to get too much done in too little time.
Yeah, it's like a funnel, like kind of squeezing something into a funnel that like too much stuff.
Will that play out through the week, or that's just sort of really in play at the beginning of the week?
The exact square is on Sunday, but coming in Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Thursday the 21st, Friday the 22nd.
Okay.
The approach of these aspects is always where you get the most action.
Yeah.
But then as they separate, you can also feel it. It may not be as intense.
Right.
So if you're trying to get something done, don't wait till the 24th.
Okay.
You know, because it's not going to go smoothly. You know, it's going to have, there are going to be delays. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be, you know, you get in the car to go somewhere, the battery's dead.
Okay.
You have a Zoom meeting, you know, you got to update your technology. That's going to take an hour.
Mm.
You know, things get delayed for no fault of your own. Like you're on the road and there's just a massive traffic jam with never ever are traffic jams. So this is the kind of thing that would happen with Mercury square Saturn. And then Mercury sextiles Neptune. So all of this stuff that's slowing us down, right?
Yep.
Mercury sextile Neptune is opening us up to the numinous. So if you get all frustrated with the, you know, things not going the way you want them to, or, you know, you're not hearing from somebody, or your things are breaking down in terms of Mercury squaring Saturn, it's like putting on the brakes, making us stop. It's making us take a breath. It's making us touch the table, you know, like just get in your body and feel something, because Mercury sextile Neptune is happening later in the day where you're going to be, it's going to be available. All of that numinous energy of Neptune, the higher octave of Venus. And so the higher octave is Venus is beauty.
Right.
Venus is art. But Neptune is the higher octave, meaning that it's the inspiration. It's where Venus goes to be inspired.
Mm.
So you have that access.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
If you take that time later in the day on Sunday, Mercury will help you to access the inspiration that you need.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Neptune's going to continue to be in play during the week when it conjuncts Jupiter and Venus on Wednesday. So it's like planting seeds early in the week.
Yeah.
Waiting for Jupiter and Venus.
Yeah. And then the moon's going to be new. And then on Saturday the 30th, right after the new moon, which happens at 4:27 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday the 30th, Venus at 5:13 p.m. conjuncts Jupiter. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
This last week of the month of April, it could be very inspiring. there could be a lot of ideas. There could be a lot of energy for, if nothing else, feeling good with all of what's going on, you know, counting your blessings.
Yeah.
You know, what you think about makes it bigger. You know, with this kind of aspect,
yes,
Venus conjunct Jupiter, conjunct Neptune, what you think about
will manifest.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to be careful and mindful of what you want to plant the seeds on.
Okay. So we can just talk about Wednesday for a few minutes here.
Okay. Let's just back up to April 27th, that Wednesday, with the moon.
So 1 a.m., the waning moon, it's a waning crescent because it's going to be a new moon. It's disappearing. It was a full moon on the 16th. So the moon is gradually disappearing each night in the sky. It's going to be conjunct Venus
right
at 1 a.m. Okay, that's a beautiful dream time right there. Moon in Pisces. Mm. And then not too much later, 1:11, Mercury is going to sextile Jupiter.
Mm.
So positive thinking, you know, like if you went to bed on Tuesday night and you just put a little positive thought on the air, or maybe had a mantra or an affirmation that you, you know, sung yourself to sleep with, you might be inspired in your dreams.
Nice.
Because the moon then conjuncts Neptune, you know, at 2:01. Mm. This is like amazing. The moon conjuncts Venus, beauty. Then Mercury sextiles Jupiter, expression of ideas.
Mm.
And then the moon conjuncts Neptune. So all of this lunar feeling nature is available. The angels are smiling on you. This is a great time to tune into the subtle aspects of life, art, nature, beauty, dreams, and spiritual realms.
Nice.
It's all good. And then, you know, when you get up just before, maybe you get up 7:07, the moon conjuncts Jupiter. So all of that good stuff that the moon was picking up with Venus, picking up with Neptune, the moon now bumps up against Jupiter and it's like filters all of that through this magnifying lens.
Mm.
And then not too much later, the moon sextiles Mercury. So you've got Mercury really involved with this Venus, Jupiter, Neptune conjunction and moving into this new moon.
Yeah.
So the ideas are going to flow. The thing that's going to stop us is our limiting beliefs.
Right. Yeah.
Which is Mercury square Saturn.
Yeah.
And later in that day, around noon, the moon enters Aries. So we've picked up all of this inspiration from our dream time.
Yeah.
And we're infusing it with fire of Aries, moving it forward, the feeling nature. And then in the afternoon, Venus makes its exact conjunction to Neptune at 3:11.
Yeah, I'm getting the picture.
So
I'm getting
this could be very much like an escape time. Like if you could take Wednesday, the 27th, off.
Go
to the beach.
Yeah. Play, dream.
Yeah. Go to an art museum, go listen to music.
Yeah. Soak in some beauty.
And the thing is, with Venus conjunct Neptune, we've got to follow the urges.
Okay. Yeah.
These urges are calling from our soul level. This isn't just like lighty, you know, flitty thought that's coming in right now.
Okay.
On the 27th. This is a soul level infusion.
Nice.
Yeah. So I really want to encourage people to do something fun. Like we should just stop everything on the 27th. I mean, we should have like a massive strike for no reason other than, you know, Venus conjunct Jupiter.
Dance parties in the street.
Yeah. I mean, that should be a call for that to happen. I decree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then let's just move forward a little bit from Wednesday. Because then Jupiter plays into the picture with Venus and Neptune on the 30th, which is also the day of this partial solar eclipse at 10 degrees in Taurus. Maybe we can just dive a little deeper into those two aspects.
Yeah, well, before we go there,
there's always another
thing. This one is not a lightweight thing either.
Okay.
Thursday the 28th, Mercury trines Pluto.
Okay.
So Pluto, as you know, is hanging out in Capricorn and will be. We had to look it up. I mean, it's just been there and been there and been there. It's going to be there until January of 2024.
Yeah.
It's at 28 degrees of Capricorn. So it's only got 2 degrees to go.
Yeah.
But it's also going to go retrograde on the 29th.
Yeah.
But before it does that, it's going to try and, Mercury's going to try and Pluto.
Pluto's like the party guest you can't get to leave. Like, gosh, it's really late. Shouldn't you be leaving? No, no, I'm just going to hang out for... I'm just going to use the bathroom. I'm just going to, it's like, get out of our house. Just get out.
I'm going to have another drink.
Just leave already. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's Mercury trying Pluto. It's like, Mercury's like, it's going to like chit chat, just talk and talk and talk and power of speech in their talk. I mean, this is not a lightweight conversation.
Yeah.
You know, Mercury trine Pluto is going to talk about sex and psychology and, you know, the influences of their childhood and all of the trauma.
Yeah.
But another manifestation of Mercury trine Pluto is the access you have to the underworld.
Yeah.
The parts that you're not always conscious of, those bits and pieces of information might be more readily available to you. It might be very, very clear why things are like they are. If you've had any doubts or concerns, or if you had that little voice in the back of your head, Mercury trine Pluto is like, yeah, you saw that. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's exposure. It's not able to hide anymore. Mercury sees and identifies trine Pluto. It knows, and it's informed by Pluto. So it's going to be there. And then Pluto goes retrograde. And then Mercury enters Gemini. So there's like a lot of movement on Friday the 29th, even before we get to this eclipse.
Yeah. But it seems like it's an opportunity, though, to get clear before we get to what we want to set an intention for. That Mercury trine Pluto could just be that last little bit of like, all right, you're moving into this big dreamscape. You're going to be making big things. Just remember these lessons and these things. And maybe clear them out of your way. You're not going to take it with you. Or that's right. You know that's there. And you're going to step into something bigger.
Absolutely. That's perfect, Sarah. Yeah, because Mercury's at 28 Taurus. Pluto's at 28 Capricorn. It's like they're at the end of their respective signs. And so they are not going to take it with them.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, awesome. Pluto thinks it's got to go back and get something. Obviously, it will. There's more.
It's that party guest, he did the leave behind, you know? I think I left my jacket.
Yeah. And then Mercury goes into Gemini. So then things are very, you know, they get very chatty, very dualistic. Well, I could do this. I could do that.
Okay.
I could do that. That's possible. Mm. This is possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mercury in Gemini at 0 degrees, it's right there. It's going to ask for that decision.
And that's interesting because the card I pulled today from the Rider-Waite Tarot deck is the Two of Swords, which is all about decision. You've got to make a decision. You got to commit and move boldly forward. But you can't hem and haw. You can't hold those swords forever. You just got to make a decision.
And the person's blindfolded.
Right.
So you don't know what the outcome is.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only hypothesize.
And have faith.
Exactly.
And what's interesting too, and that we can post a picture of the Two of Swords, is that the moon is there. So it's like, trust. Trust your intuition. Make a commitment. Go for it.
Exactly.
Which leads us right into this partial solar eclipse. And we've got the moon, the sun, conjunct Uranus, and Pallas Athene, which is about wanting a plan, putting a plan into action, and Uranus, the unexpected.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Moving forward.
And the North Node is right there. So the evolutionary focus of all of this.
All just coming together.
It is. I mean, it will, I hope it will feel that way for you in a positive sense because you've got so much support from the group in Pisces. You know, you've got this whole choir over in Pisces rooting for you, basically.
Yeah.
It's possible that there are no holes barred. There's nothing that could stop you, really. You have the support of the angels, basically.
Right.
It's very powerful. It's a very powerful time.
Yeah.
So Mars is in Pisces, sextile the sun, sextile the moon.
And sextiles are harmonious, like flow, good flow.
Absolutely. Good on both sides. So they flow back and forth. So there's like, it's not just one way. It's like a give and take that's mutually supportive.
That happens on the 30th too.
Yeah. But yeah, we do have Uranus conjunct the sun and the moon, and Uranus sextiles Mars as well. So it's there's a lot of action that could be taken. There's a lot of movement that could be taken.
Well, I hope I didn't sidetrack us there to finish any of the aspects, the other aspects of the solar eclipse. I know we had mentioned Pallas Athene, who is about making plans.
Yeah. I mean, Pallas, just to give you another analogy, is like, she's the weaver. She's like the master weaver. She makes the plan. She comes up with the design. She's an artist, but she's also, you know, a chess player. Mm-hmm. She crafts war. She's the daughter of Zeus that sprang out of his head, you know, but she's also about independence, wisdom. She's warrior-like, strong. Her advice was prized for its intelligence. So Pallas, at 0 degrees, earth sign, Taurus, she's asking us to change the weave. Mm. She's coming up with a plan. Things have been going in a certain way. She moved through Aries. But at the point of this new moon, she moves into Taurus. So she's making a change to the plan, to the weft, to the weave. She's asking us to come up with another solution, another plan.
A new design.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
For a little visual astrology, because you could, in the early morning of April 30th, May 1st, get to the southeastern horizon, and you'll actually be able to see Venus conjunct Jupiter. That's a little visual.
Yeah, so this is totally visible, and actually you should be able to see it on the 27th as well, when it's exact, but early morning hours before dawn on April 30th through May 1, the bright reddish Jupiter will appear to rise within a hair's breadth of the yellow-white Venus. So look to the southeast about an hour before sunrise. And that's going to give you the best view of this almost close conjunction. And for an extra treat, viewers on the morning of April 27th will be able to catch a glimpse of the waning moon hanging close to the duo. So that's going to be pretty amazing. The moon, Venus, and Jupiter. And invisible to the eye will be Neptune.
That's right. It's there. You just won't be able to see it.
Right. But what a spectacle. Just take it all in, you know?
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, fellow stargazers, let us know how it's working for you. Leave us a comment.
Yeah.
Email us at connect@sisterstargazers.com and have a magical, magical week. Jude, thank you for deciphering all of these aspects for us.
Thank you, Sarah. It's just the best.
It is the best. Well, until next time, I'll look forward to hearing how our dreams manifested as we enter May.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we can talk about Beltane next week.
That sounds good.
The fire festival. We could get out there with our fire ropes.
Let's do it.
What are those things called? The swinging fire. All right. Well, maybe we'll post something. Picture's good.
That sounds good to me.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye, Jude. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Sister Stargazers. Let us know what worked for you this week. Find us on Facebook and post a comment at Sister Stargazers.